Hello and welcome to the 100 Podcast. It's Ed and Charlie here with you. Hope you're well. Today we're continuing our 2023 team preview series, previewing every single men's and women's side ahead of this year's competition of the 100. Today we're focusing on the London Spirit Women. Charlie, we've previously talked about the Manchester Originals men as the king of part-time off-spin. How many part-time off-spinners do you need? The Originals have always said you need more. This London Spirit side, and it's not just part-timers, four off-spinners in one side. Just a remarkable feat of a cricket team building, and lots of other talent as well. But that's the first thing that stands out to me.
I call this team Luther Vandross. Never too much.
Never too much. Those are two leg spinners. I mean, it's going to be a fun side. This is a side, Charlie, that obviously have made a coaching change, underperformed last year, I think, and concerned to expectation. But there's a lot of pressure on them this year to win some games, especially given they've let players like Beth Mooney and Freya Davies go. There is some changes to this side. They've let some key contributors go. Going to be interesting to see how they approach this season.
It is, yeah. Of course, Ashi Nofka comes in as head coach, replacing Trevor Griffin, who I think we've both been big fans of Trevor Griffin as a coach, but unfortunately, I think with the squad he had there, it's fair to say they probably did underperform a little bit. So I suppose a change wasn't a huge surprise, although it is a shame for Trevor Griffin. That being said, while I like some of the business they've done, I can't say I love others. I think they've let some pretty important players go. I didn't particularly love some of their off-season work, particularly in terms of who they retained in the draft. I think they could have retained slightly wiser than they did. That being said, this is a decent squad. Is it the best squad on paper? I'm not sure it is, but there's something to work with here. And I agree with you. I think this is a big season for them because they've made a lot of big calls here. I think with that in mind, they do kind of have a point to prove.
Let's go straight into this top order then, because to be honest, this has been confusing us, because nobody in this London Spirit side really stands out as a true opener, you might say. Grace Harris, obviously big name, probably want to bat in the middle order a little bit more. So we have gone with a top four of Heather Knight, capped at the top, Grace Scrivens opening with her, and then Sophie Loft at three, and then you get Grace Harris at four. I think that kind of middle order position probably where she wants to bat, I'd say. And obviously that's where she's had a lot of success. And for Australia, is coming in down the order and hitting lots of runs very quickly. But that top four, once we get past the fact we're not quite sure how to shape it up, there's talent there. It's just you'd ideally like an opener. And you'd ideally like Heather Knight to bat in her normal position, you'd say.
Yeah, and again, this isn't necessarily a new problem for this side, you would say. I feel like despite some of the personnel changes that have occurred, the familiar problems are still rearing their heads here. I think that top order on paper is really nice. The question is, can you get them all in a position in which they're able to maximise their potential? I'm not sure you can. You know, for example, you might want to break up that top three of Knight, Scrivens and Love. You might say, well, I want someone with maybe a bit more firepower who's going to go hard from ball one. So, okay, you might want to promote someone else from like a Harris or a Kerr or Richard Ghosh, but then you think, well, you're pushing them out of position. So you don't really fix an issue. You're just kind of creating another issue elsewhere. And I think this is an issue that is not unique to the Spirit in that there's lots of good players here, but they don't necessarily fill all the roles that need to be filled. It feels a little bit like fantasy cricket, where they're picking nice players that don't necessarily fill all the roles that you need to fill in order to be a genuine top-tier competitor in a T20 cricket tournament. That's not to say they can't be, but I think it makes the job a lot harder when you're having to play at least one or two players out of their preferred position.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Look, Grace Scrivens is a real talent, young, only 19. I think it is a player that there are real high hopes for. So, you know, I think you're pretty excited about what she can do at the top of the order, obviously getting some game time for England A. But, you know, in the Charlotte Edwards Cup, averaged 16, a striker of 97. Obviously, we're big fans of Sophie Loft. She's bounced around a little bit throughout the 100 so far. So, you know, we'll see where we go. It does feel like a little bit of a just a lot of players potentially batting out position. But the strength, of course, is the depth. You go through, obviously, Grace Harris, just a phenomenal cricketer. Can't wait to see her play for this side. Amelia Kerr, you know how talented she is. Risha Ghosh, the Indian keeper. Sarah Glenn at 7, Danielle Gibson at 8. Probably actually Gibson bats at 8 rather than Sarah Glenn there. But the point is, you bat pretty deep, especially when you consider Charlie Dean can also play. There's depth to this batting order. And I think that's something to be excited by, especially when you consider the experience that Harris, Kerr and Knight provide you.
Absolutely. And I think there is absolutely a scenario in which this lineup works very nicely. You've got those three players at the top, Knight, Scrimmage and Love, who in theory can give you a nice platform, not necessarily an electric start, but it gives you a platform. And then you have the depth and the more, I guess, the firepower, the hitting part of this team in that middle order. You kind of have that depth there that gives you the license to hit harder once you've got that platform set. And if that works out, brilliant, it's great. And, you know, I feel like there is a way in which you can make that work. The concern is if the top order doesn't quite fire it, or if, you know, they get off to a slower start and it leaves that middle order just a bit too much to do, that could then be an issue. So I wouldn't be surprised if his batting lineup ends up being relatively flexible. I wouldn't be surprised if they feel the need to float up Grace Harris and Amelia Kerr that bit higher in the order just to try and add some impetus to the innings a little bit earlier, just to try and prevent those potentially slower, stodgy starts. I don't know if they're going to do that, but I certainly would be a proponent for them to do that. Essentially, what I'm saying is that they have a lot of exciting players there. I think you do have to be very clever in how you use them.
I would agree with that. And I think here's the issue is also Sophie Luff's not been scoring particularly quickly in the Charlotte Edwards Cup. The struggle at 94 in 2023. And Grace Harris is best used as a power hitter, you'd probably say. Yeah. So you do have worries about how that top order is going to operate. And I do think they're going to have to float players up there just to get them off to faster starts. Because you like the depth, but ultimately, you know, if you've got batting depth, you want to be going a bit harder. Now, Danielle Gibson can really play. Richard Gosch is a fantastic cricketer. Sarah Glenn Choi Dean, you love the depth. I just do think that's a concern. And how they put this batting order together, I think it's going to be really interesting. I think it's quite difficult for us to say how exactly you would go about this. I imagine they have a plan lined up. They have maybe they're going to throw Amelia Kerr up the order. Maybe they're going to try Ghosh up earlier in the order. There's plenty of different things they can experiment with. But I just don't think we're going to really find out until they take the field. There are, I think, concerns about how this side operates. What you do get, though, I think, in this side is a million bowling options. And we've mentioned the spin, but I want to get onto that second because I have thoughts on that. Also, let's start on the pace attack, which I think is really, really good. Obviously, you've got Tara Norris, the American left-armer, had a lot of success in the women's IPL, which is just a weird kind of story for her to get there. Basically, in the women's IPL, you were able to have five overseas, but one of them had to be a associate player. So obviously, Tara Norris, American qualified, goes over there. Bowls really well. I think took a 5 for in one game. So, you know, a cricketer you can really depend on. I think she's probably going to be the key bowler in this attack, I'd argue. Lauren Filer made her test debut for England very recently this summer against Australia. Bowls with serious pace. And then you have Danielle Gibson, who obviously offers you something, good amount of slower balls, more towards the middle and the death overs. You can operate there. So there's a lot of points of difference in that pace attack. And I think when you have the pace of Filer and the quality, I think, of Tara Norris, you feel pretty good.
Yeah, it's a really good start there. I was personally very surprised to see Tara Norris move on from the Southern Brave. I thought it was going to be a no-brainer that they would try and draft her, or at the very least do one of those backroom deals that other teams seem to have done on the open market stage. But that didn't happen. She's moved to London Spirit. And I think that's a really exciting signing for them. Obviously, with the loss of Freya Davis, I think they had to get someone who they could trust there with the seam bowling. And in Norris, I think they've got a very, very good replacement. Lauren Filer as well is a nice pickup. Hasn't necessarily set 100 light in previous years, but I think she's hitting a really good stride now. Obviously, broke through in the Women's Ashes big time. Looked really impressive, bowled of serious pace. So I think that's a really solid core of a seam attack there. It's genuinely quite exciting, I think. And going from position of losing their best seamer in Freya Davis, they've rebuilt very nicely.
Yeah, and I think there's options here, but I would argue that with Filer and Gibson there, you are having, I think, to give a lot of the key overs to spinners. I think they'll really want to bank on that spin attack when I think Filer's less experienced and you probably need a couple more options for the death. Obviously, they're well inclined to do that, to hold Kerr back to the death and use some more of their spin in key phases. And let's talk about that spin attack. You've got Amelia Kerr and Sarah Glenn both on the side, dual leg spinners. For me, I love that. I think it's a fantastic combination. I think they're going to be really tough to play in the middle over specifically. I also think you're going to be able to hold Kerr a bit more back for the death. And when you have Sarah Glenn there and you can use those 15 to 20 deliveries in the middle overs, it means you can hold Kerr a bit back, have another wicket-taking option. I really like that. That tandem of leg spin, Charlie, England international, New Zealand international, there's going to be lots of wickets in the middle overs for the Spirit. And I do think they can really turn up the heat against sides, especially if early wickets are lost or there's a big total on the board. Either way, those middle overs, you're not going to score many against the Spirit.
No, absolutely. This has always been a side that's liked to have lots of spin options. But I think in the past, they've always been a little bit bits and pieces. They haven't necessarily had that kind of go-to core spin attack. This year, you have Sarah Glenn and Amelia Kerr, two genuinely gun world-class leggies, and that really fills me with excitement. We love leg spin on this podcast, and I think to see a team that's going in for two leggies, there's quite a few teams actually who've gone in for multiple leggies. But in Sarah Glenn and Amelia Kerr, you have two genuine guns here, both of whom have a lot of experience and a lot of flexibility, I think, in the way you can use them. That's before we get to the plethora of off-spinners as well. So I think that stands them in really good stead. And I think finally, this allows them to be a bowling side that they've kind of always wanted to be, you think. They've always wanted to have this plethora of spin options. And now I think they've finally got themselves in a situation where they can do that with a genuinely very high level of quality. So encouraging signs, I would say here. Good recruitment.
Then they've got the four off spinners. Obviously, Charlie Dean's going to be important to the side. I think you're going to see a lot of her in the power play. And I think she's got a key role to play. Obviously, England international, you love that. Then, obviously, I'm not sure how much of Grace Harris and Grace Scrivens we'll see, but that, you know, good bowling options. Obviously, you've got Heather Knight there as well. I don't know why you need that many off spinners. I imagine this was a happy accident rather than an actual tactical decision. But it is helpful, I think, to have all of these options. I think when you look at this bowling side on the whole, you know, you have, I think, five real strong options in Kerr, Glenn, Dean, Norris, Filer. Danielle Gibson can offer you a lot as well. Then obviously a bit of Heather Knight and a bit of the part-time off-spin and you're flying. I think, you know, I'm interested to see how exactly they put these overs together. I'll also be interested to see how they get on at the death. I think you back Amelia Kerr and Charlie Dean to bowl a little bit there, but how will Tara Norris fare and are you going to back Danielle Gibson? I think that's a slight worry. So interested to see how they put this together. I think the bowling attack on a whole is very, very useful and I think is going to be the key strength of this side.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair. Given that top order, I think this is going to be what wins them the most games, I would suggest. I like what they have here. They do have some flexibility. They do have quality. As ever, I think it's going to come down to how well they can use their resources. Heather Knight, of course, is fantastic as a captain, and I'm sure she knows exactly what she's doing and has a very clear game plan here. And I think if she gets the most out of these players, using them in their correct roles, then yeah, every chance this bowling attack is going to win them an awful lot of games. I think it is their strong suit. That spin attack in particular, I really like it.
Yeah, I think it is the strength of their side. And before we get into our vibe chat for London Spirit, my players watch Lauren Filer. Look, I love double leg spin. That's obviously big for me. But a bowler with this level of pace, as we saw in the Ashes, is crucial. I think it's going to be really exciting. And I think having Lauren Filer there also offers you a wicket-taking option in the middle overs, which isn't Kerr or Glenn, which means you can have a bit more flexibility with how you use those two leg spinners. So pace, bit of fire. I think Lauren Filer is one to watch. And I think obviously having played that test match, she's really come to prominence, but she can really stamp her authority on the English game and the white ball side almost with a strong performance in the 100.
Absolutely. This is a big platform for her. She's really broken through recently, as I said, at the top of the podcast, hasn't necessarily done much of note in the 100 to date. This is a big chance for her. People know what she can do now. She's performed so well for England. I think more attention will be on her. The eyes will be on her. This gives her a really, really good opportunity to put in a big claim for England white ball honours. There's every chance that she's in the mix with a good series here. I am going to shout out Charlie Dean, obviously, of course, in the England setup already. I think she's got quite an important role to play in this side. She's going to be the premier off spinner here. Obviously, Grace Harris, Scrivens and Knight will contribute too. But I think she offers a really nice, counterpoint to Kerr and Glenn. I think she's going to bowl with lots of control, bowl a lot in the power play. I think she's a really, really talented cricketer, and I think she's got a big role to play in this team. So I'm going to shout her out here.
Absolutely. A fantastic cricketer. Vibe check on the London Spirit, Charlie. I love this bowling attack. Have a couple of questions about how they quite use those bowlers. I think they'll have to be capped tomorrow by Heather Knight. Maybe a couple of questions for the death, but I really am nitpicking. Love the bowling attack. My concern is just really how they piece this batting lineup together. You love the individual elements, specifically Ghosh, Kerr, Harris, Knight. I'm just not quite sure how they're going to put this batting order together. And if they can work something out, they can work out an opening partnership, a top three that can be more dynamic than maybe we expect. I think this side can go a long way. I just have concerns about how this is all pieced together. I think it could take some clever captaincy from Heather Knight, which we've seen a lot, and some very good coaching from Ashley Nofka, which we've also seen a lot in the Women's Big Bash. So I wouldn't put them as one of the favourites, but because I do have some concerns. But I think this side ticks a lot of boxes.
I would say they're dark horses, but I don't really feel that's appropriate because I think they've obviously got a lot of quality here to the point where saying they were in any way underdogs would almost be underplaying them a little bit. I do share your concerns with the balance of this side. I do think you might have to be quite clever in terms of how you line up and how you try and maximise the potential of all these players. If they can't quite find a way to make that work, I think that could potentially not be fatal necessarily, but certainly be an issue for them if they want to qualify for the final three. But I think they have the quality here and the personnel in the dressing room to be a genuine competitor. They're not my favourite team here, but they're far from my least favourite. I think this is, at the very least, a solid mid-table team. They have all of the capability of winning this competition. I don't think they will, but if things go their way, they absolutely could.
So the London Spirit, two leggies, we love it. Lots of off spin, we love it. Loads of talent and experience in the middle order, love it. How they piece this batting unit together, that's our concern. You can find the team preview right now on this feed for the London Spirit Men, and every single other franchise preview is now available on our feed. Go check them out. You can also find us on editor notes. Please insert whatever Elon Musk is calling Twitter or X these days in this gap. @podcast100. But for now, thank you very much for listening, and we'll speak to you next time.